As it's the final recession, and I'm aware of time, I would like to say the final pause now for what I'm going to come today. Let me begin by expressing my commendation and thanks to the convenors of this conference. And I pray that the idea would not die. I'm grateful for having the opportunity to be part of the initiation and to participate in this session. I'm always grateful to share with my friend and brother, Brother Roy Wolfgang, and I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow and research you. I'm an activist. I got into something the last time. Jerry mentioned if we didn't get together for the same, so we just put me clean from the point of the battle we're getting together. I didn't know if we asked to sing again. It's always good practice to stand. I didn't give you some of the distress. So we stand and sing. Have a powerful demonstration.
Every mark of them to say,
transition and things are changing within the hour. And so we began talking about knowing God as Creator. That gives us our connection with the beginning. And then we dealt with the sovereign God, who is dealing all in between the beginning and then finally the end. Because creation began when God said, let there be. And it would end when the angels stand with one foot on the earth and one foot on the sea and declare that time that has been won't be any longer. Our Father used to say, God will wrap the gavel of time and call the world in order. And we must all stand before the awful tribunal. And so we come to this final message today, we're about knowing God as goodness. The scripture means as well, and he is taken from Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, and 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, 2 Peter 3, 10 and 11, and then perhaps Revelation 10, 12, 15. They read as follows. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he has done, whether he be good or bad. And then 2 Peter 3, 10, 11. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought he to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And then in Revelation 20:12-15 we read, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Knowing God as goodness. When we consider the biblical doctrine of goodness, it tells us that God is supreme judge and final disposer of all that exists. And then through the history on the basis of his character. And when man and nation move away from God or transgress his laws, God moves in judgment. The games of history, judgment, there is a judgment that is continually going on within history. But then also he says that there will be a final judgment when God will wrap the gavel of time and call the world in order. And we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In the text in Romans, Paul sets forth for our attention the fact that God's wrath is revealed. It's being revealed now. And revealing it all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God's wrath is revealed against, first of all, ungodliness, because that always precedes unrighteousness. Men never commit unrighteousness before they first of all commit ungodliness. You remember when David had the affair with Bathsheba,
Any person of prayer being afraid against thee and the only, how I see him, and done the evil in thy sight. And the mystical word, first Yahweh, everything is evil against thee and the only, how I see him. After that, how is this woman, and she is a husband, what do you mean of this God, and how you say it? David's prayer underscores the fact that the whole thing is a confusion idea to reflect that you. She will over. He has the power to disrespect the law of God and says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And in small thing, we even consider getting rid of you, are you, by having a prayer in the battle. He had the power of the law of God and says, thou shalt do no murder. It was always ungodly at first, before the fruits of unrighteousness manifest themselves. And this same also called us up. It became so cold, really holding down the truth. Not because they are ignorant of it necessarily, but they hold it out there with presence. They are not looking for righteousness, they are not looking for truth. Regard the truth is like the reason why Bernie can't find a policeman. And that's because he's not looking for him. They don't want to know. And in all of this, all this God lies, it revealed, it being revealed now. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, Paul tells us. He begins, he's talking about the fact that we want to be pleasing unto God. Whether it be in our life, in our death, whatever we do, we want to please him. And then as to underscore that, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then one of us, everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he's done, whether it be good or bad. We spend a lot of time today in cosmetics. Everybody wants to look good. We deal with a lot of people, soft, of making a good show, preventing the good picture. The Father says the time will come when we will be completely exposed. We will have to appear there to tell people stop. And the meaning that includes that he said we. The low shot, the big shot, the low hundred set, the low hundred set. This is the poor of the Bible, why we became uneducated, we, and then we imperative, we must. And in our meetings like these, there are those who cannot come, even in Sunday morning churches, that there are those who have Saturday afternoon and decide, I'm not going today, I don't feel like it. But at this meeting, there are few more of them, we must. Nobody can say, Lord, I can't make it today. You've got to be there. And in that judgment, we will receive for the things we've done in this body. That's a sober consideration. According to that, we have done whether it be good or bad. 2 Peter, one of my favorite passages of scripture. Peter is dealing with the fact that in the latter times there will be scoffers. A lot of people have scoffers, the world has been saying, and it will continue, and people have been talking that the seven coming stuff for 2,000 years, and it's just like always has been, Peter said there will be. He goes on to set forth the reason why God is delaying his return, I don't mean to deal with verse 9, but the earth in verse 9 is the elect. It does not mean what many people think it to mean that God doesn't want anybody to be lost. And just in case there may be an Armenian or two here, let me just deal with it for a moment.
The Lord is not considered slackers that you call up in some men how slackers, but as long as you're your last word. Not really any should tell, but the last will come to repentance. And what you ask for is who? Who are you asking for to refer to? Well, to find that out, you just have to look up the first person. That chapter 3 says, then send me this will be beloved. Now I write unto you. One of the second epistles, let's see who the first epistle is written to. We turn to Peter, one and one, and said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the saints and scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Yeah. Of course, with the foreknowledge of God. And so Peter's really saying here, the Lord is not slack, it's like the Pontus, concerned about the elect. And if the Savior Christ is coming, he's only been so long after God has called all the elect men. As the song has been, the elect and saints of God have been saved to sin no more. Then Christ will come. And so he continues to look in there, but the day of the Lord that we come, and it will come as a thief. There is concerning himself with signs and those kinds of things, but the thief never sends a message and said, I'll be there Friday night. He does not know if it happened over the night, he's a thief. He comes unaware. Jesus said, he's coming, he'll be like the thief in the night. The day will come and the heavens will pass. Every stone will seem so solid to the pure. That he will get alive and do all kinds of things to maintain love things. And then he raised the question, seeing that all these things shall be solid, what manner of person ought he be in all holy conversation and godliness? John's letter can give us a closer up of the same picture we find in Revelation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 13. High above the head, falling grace, gives us a close up. A very solemn description of a scene where everybody's standing there, all the dead, and the books were open. Everyone was judged out of those books. All those who may were not found in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Then he said, it's the second thing. Well, these are just a few of the passages that the Bible gives us that relate to the doctrine of judgments. Again, as we think about these doctrines by my attention, that the documents for the God, that's the intellectual apprehension. Maybe I was in the middle of Spanish philosopher towards the judgment of his day. I have the big idea, marry, take it home, and live with it, raise children with it. And I think the preacher, we understand the topic, so stop that up, it's an intellectual apprehension, and take it home and live with it. He's editing upon it, chew upon it, turn it over and over again, clean down the door, interpretation. That way becomes your work in a deeper sense. Then you just have an item of the confession that I make. So when we do this, the doctrine of judgment, God knowing God and judge, let me suggest to you, first of all, it helps us to understand an essential characteristic of God relative to judgment is not love, but holiness. That the essential characteristic of God, especially regarding judgment, is not love, but holiness. When we talk about judgment in the day like in which we live, in the Christian world, somehow the mental idea does not get through at all. And the reason why it does not get through is that we might spend about 5 years on the kind of thing to do. God is love, God, God. There's so much love around, some of you concluded that God was not there, or that God would not send anybody to make them learn to find them somewhere. I'm sure you see some other things that God is love.
they are simply sitting on the hook to ask the telephone by saying, the ones that love you. If it is a mind to have the real idea that somehow gets it, it is just like a truth. And so the soul is that the heart is muted by the overarching emphasis upon the love of God. Now, you need to understand that the essential category of love of God is not physically love, but it's holiness. When God called Moses on the mountainside, he did not say, take off your shoes, you're on loving ground. He said, you're on holy ground. My idea of the vision in the temple is that my love, love, love. Love, holy, holy, holy. When John crossed to heaven, he saw the three folks before many others. And just all the time they were not saying love, 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 but holy, holy, holy. We have in our mind and ready to see this matter. So the Bible says, God is love. But it says so much more. It says God is a consuming fire. It is truly faithful. God is not mocked. Why don't you make him a better sign that says, all is God in a consuming fire? You see, Lord, here's a kind of thing that we like to hear. We have the grace of God, the love of God, and the mercy of God, and we trust in God through the hands of the God, and all things God, He's God. It was an eye-opener to me some years ago when I first looked at this. And you can check it yourself, just take your Bible, you have a red letter Bible, and just sit down and run through the Gospels. See how many times Jesus talked about love. He was not only love, how to persuade men to take the love of God.
He was on a journey. All that I'm appealing to men on the basis of judgment.
And that really meant a lot of the same thing. And I went on and read the book of Acts. He learned to read the book of the New Testament.
I was amazed at the love of God was never mentioned in the book of Acts. And when the people said to keep the mind of this, now can this be the best? They will cut the heart.
Paul, the dialogue when you're talking with government, successful for Peter, when was it? The Bible says that at the reason of righteousness of temperance and judgment to come, Peter trembled and said, go your way, for I have convenience to eat some of my cloth for him.
Now,
I want to do this for the modern Baptist technique. Paul blew it.
You have a way of judgment and temperance. You know, I'm people like that, they are fine to have souls. And all these are the demand of the land of the judgment and service, the book says
each. And I just believe there was nothing wrong with some people shivering today.
And we stand before the throne of God.
See, it won't be the love of God, it'll be the Holy Spirit.
You see, there was a name called for love and gain. There was a servant of my love of holiness.
Someone said God may be loving,
but he must be just. When we contemplate God's will to catch us to move away the things in the world,
self-doctrine that God is faced with love. I think we are the best society when people have reverence and a fear of God. It's a little idea. I know that some 19th century liberals came up with the idea that this was essential methodology to follow the will of God, to follow the will of man, and it's all about love. But somehow this idea is painted in most of Christians. We're allowed to say it's not our human, it's all the stuff that we know. It ain't so. I love it.
So,
let's just complicate the doctrine of knowing God is covering. Not only does it help us to see that everyone does not love the basic doctrine of first amazing attribute of God, character for our conversation, but also it helps us to see things as they are in the world today. We really missed out on our society with educational reform. And I'm very much involved with a lot of people in public schools. As a matter of fact, I substitute teaching in public schools, and I see a lot of things going on. And it's this problem, that problem, and I just, it disturbs me that Christians are not discerning enough to see what the real issue is.
In order to be effective, we have to know what the real issues are. Now then, instead of just being some more of a small
classroom, or just being a man of just affair, you know what the problem is? It's always the same. A little more of this, a little more of that. Without realizing that we are a nation under
judgment. And the only thing that will do justice is the
justice. You see, unless the doctor makes the correct diagnosis of you, it will still be a cure in your face. Last year, one of our testings in the hospital, he gave the devil the worse. And he changed the doctor, and he discovered that the doctor was treating him for the wrong thing.
And
the
real
healing
of the Father,
it becomes
their
father. How does that know
what the problem is?
And Christ healed the man right here. The Bible speaks that we are a nation of the judgment. By the Old Testament, whenever judgment took place, judgment usually took the form of the demonic deprivation, famine, that kind of thing,
desolate,
sickness, diseases, and they were taken captive.
All these things that we just look at and talk about,
we just
a natural
phenomenon. You had a drought last year, you had a hurricane, and you had an earthquake. That was just a natural phenomenon.
We had that disease, the cancer,
the cancer, the cancer. Well, we're going to find a solution
up the road. More than ever research. And we now start to look at the cause.
In the first chapter of the book of Romans, Paul gives us an illustration of how God judges us. He says the wrath of God is revealed. Go on now. How does God sit?
He gives all the evidence
when these calamities happen, which we can look at and know this is a natural cause. But you see, God controls natural causes, you see. I never said forget the slave who followed her with a 6-year-old son smoking a cigarette. And she warned him repeatedly not to smoke. He just wanted to smoke anyway.
So what she did, she was not mad. She was not sitting for her hand. She said, sit down, call me on the cigarette.
She said, I smoke in the world before you get out. He got to smoking the back of cigarettes.